Como mamá, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Por eso quiero lo mejor en mi cocina. Y eso significa solo huevos Eggland's Best. No importa cómo los cocines, siempre saben frescos y deliciosos. Y tienen más vitaminas D y E y el doble de omega 3 que los huevos regulares. Entonces, ¿por qué conformarte con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the domestic fallout begins to meet European build-up, Brendan Rodgers is backing his team to end their Champions League winless run against Feyenoord tomorrow. Is it or is it not a dead rubber? Rangers await news on Cifuentes' appeal and the Danilo injury ahead of Betis away. And Scotland will play the Netherlands and Northern Ireland in friendlies next March as part of their Euro preparations. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL. We keep saying it, Gordon, every week because we mean it. Busy, busy time of year in Scottish football and abroad as well this week.
Yeah, it's a busy time for everyone concerned in football, especially footballers. Christmas is usually a wind down for people to enjoy the festive, but it's different if you're a footballer. It's they come thick and fast, Gordon. Very, a lot of important games as well leading up to the January break. So, a lot of important games, a lot of results still to get. Celtic start tomorrow night in Europe. I know that obviously people can look at it and say, is it a dead rubber? Of course it's not, especially after the result of the weekend, the amount of money that you get for picking up a win. And then Rangers, a great opportunity on Thursday night as well. So still a bit to play for.
And right off the back of a very interesting weekend as well, Cammy Bell.
Yeah, really disappointing weekend for Celtic. So they need to bounce back fast as well. And as Brendan Rodgers expressed, he wants that win in Europe to stop the sort of bad run they've been on for a long period. And as Gordon says, there's money at stake as well for the club. So they'll be trying to get that result tomorrow night.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number you need. Get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. It is only Tuesday, and I don't like to sort of patronise you, I'm sure you know which day of the week it is, but what I mean by that, we're just getting over the weekend. It might be you still want to discuss the weekend. Celtic fans, it's day two, if you like, of the post-mortem into that Kilmarnock defeat. What are you thinking now? Because it goes straight into Champions League. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. He's kind of hinting that some players will get the chance to show what they can do in these Champions League games. On the face of it, there's great news because Maeda and Hatate and Carter Vickers are back in training, but none of them will feature tomorrow night against Feyenoord. So I suppose overall, to sum it up, Celtic fans, how do you feel about tomorrow? How important is it? The guys have said it's worth over £2 million. That is a lot of money in Scottish football terms. If you win the game, it's £2 million. A win would put it up to 4 points. Does that matter? Does the points total matter when you're out altogether? Is it about saving face? How much do you care about that stuff? Or have you written tomorrow off completely? So that's a kind of general one to kick us off. How do you feel about tomorrow? Sum up the importance or lack of importance of it. 01419511025. Last I checked, I don't think we had any news, Rangers fans, on José Cifuentes' appeal, whether or not it will be successful and what that will mean to you for the weekend, because that could certainly change everything there. So if you want to get your thoughts generally on the weekend and the title race, maybe you're feeling a bit more optimistic about things, or maybe you want to look ahead to Thursday, again, it is the same number. And anything else that you think we didn't cover off last night, you know where we are. 01419511025. Get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. I mean, Gordon DL, you know, he doesn't go to many football games, but he was there. He was at Rugby Park on Sunday, so you have an eyewitness that you can share your thoughts with. Did you enjoy it? I saw the picture of you, shirt and tie on.
Yeah.
Dressed to impress.
It's a tradition I do every year again. Ayrshire, I always go to a game with some of my friends because I lived down that way for a long time. We make a day of it, shirt and tie, pay in, have a nice day, and then
hold on, right, stop. I was willing to go along with the lie. until it was like, would I lie to you? You know, what's the bit that gives it away? The paying. Well, the paying
I
bit
thought it was your shirt and tie.
Has given you away. No, because there's at least photo evidence of you in the shirt and tie. I like how you borrowed Hugh's Nokia to take the picture. You ever think of like cleaning your lens or anything before you take a picture?
That was a poor one. I'm not very good with social media. But it wasn't about me. It was about saying, look, I'm out supporting the game. I love the game. I want to be involved.
And what did you make of it?
And a Celtic point of view, very poor indeed, Gordon. I've got to say, they started the game very well. I thought front foot, got the goal with O'Reilly. You're thinking, it's just got to be a normal day at the office for Celtic. I'm sure all the Celtic fans thought the same. All credit to Derek McInnes. I watched him in the dugout. He was very angry with most of the first half. Obviously, he had a few choice words. And it certainly had an effect because they come out, they looked a different team, they got at Celtic. Celtic had absolutely no answers whatsoever. And you've got to say, ran out deserved winners, and well done to Kilmarnock and well done to everyone down there. And the Killy Pies are still the same, they're lovely.
What is the status of this title race now, Cammy, after the weekend?
Wide open for me. I think it was a poor result for Celtic, but again, a concerning one that I think there's been a number of games this season. They play well in periods of games, but consistently for the 90 minutes, I think I've not seen enough of that this season under Brendan Rodgers. And just the way they dropped off in the second half was a bit worrying for me. And as Gordon says, listen, full credit to Kilmarnock because they pressed them, they made it hard for them. But I just feel as if Celtic really underperformed, and we all know it's the title race is back on now.
You feel the same? I mean, look, arithmetically, how could you not? I don't think I don't think anyone's going to phone in and say, no, there's no title race. I mean, how can you deny the arithmetic of it? But, you know, generally speaking, Gordon, it does seem to have, even the mood, it's all shifted very quickly as well, it seems.
Yeah, let's not be kidded here. There's a title race on, and I think most of the Celtic fans out there would admit that as well. Celtic, to me, just now, they're a bit of a mixed bag. One week I see them and some of the football they play is absolutely brilliant, and you think, yeah, they've certainly got the strongest squad and they're going to go on and win the league. I witnessed it for myself at the weekend, and you can say, right, OK, defence of Brendan Rodgers, first league defeat. It's the manner, you know, you go through the team, there's a lot of players just now for me, watching them on Sunday. When they go and get tough, they certainly didn't stand up to it for me. And I think that would be an alarming sign if I was Brendan Rodgers. And I think the January window can't come quick enough for him to strengthen.
I mean, you were there as well. That's this show, you know, we look high and low for pundits that are there, in about, at the coalface, well informed, taking it all in. I mean, you would have probably been there. Were you working?
Yep.
I mean, not like in the padded seats with the shirt and tie like this
no,
guy.
No.
So you probably actually paid attention. And I bet you didn't leave before the winning goal like somebody else did.
I always leave. I actually said, I got in a car. I said, guaranteed we will put this radio on and there'll be a goal somewhere.
Amazing.
I never stay for night. I don't like the night. It's too long.
Yeah, but leaving at 60 was a bit of a risk. 0141 951 1025. Frank is in Busby. He's a Rangers fan. He's going to kick us off tonight. How's it going, Frank?
Frank, good evening, fan. How's it going?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
I was on about a month ago, and I said that Clement had got his playing back to the way Rangers should be. I'd also said that the Rodgers bubble was due to burst. Mark Wilson didn't take that too well. I think he's tinted glasses made of their own. However, going into the game on Sunday, I thought we've got a team playing now well, really well. Dessers, I didn't really rate him at first, but he's going to a game, Cantwell, same, didn't really rate him. However, going into the weekend, if we get a trophy and then come to the game at New Year, definitely the title race is well back on. The bubble is burst.
Sum up how confident you are, Frank, and like, do you think Rangers will win the league, or do you think it's going to be close? How would you sum it up? Do you think it's just the title race is on? Is that as far as you're willing to go at the moment?
No, definitely. I would say the Celtic bubble is burst. I don't know if Rodgers is starting to lose the dressing room. I don't know what's going on, if he's not interested. When you listen to his interviews, he sounds depressed. It just seemed the man he was the last time he was at Celtic.
I know it's just a phrase. I'm not taking a argue about it too much, but I think even some Celtic fans, they might say that, was there ever even a bubble this season? You know, maybe for some, but I think for a lot that have been phoning in last night, feel that maybe they've actually not really got going that much, rather than, oh, it was all amazing and now it's fallen apart.
Yeah, well, I'd be worrying then if they did get going for me, Gordon, because as much as I was very unimpressed with Celtic at Rugby Park, you look at their record in the league, 17 games, they've only lost one. And if their bubbles burst with that, I think that's a statement too quick. I can totally take on board why Rangers fans, all of a sudden, this confidence is starting to grow, rightly so. New managers come in. What a lift he's given the team. He just looks the manager that they needed on that touchline. There's something about him. He makes the right decisions, the right call. I think he's got a lot of respect from the players. He's got a tune out of one or two players that a lot of Rangers fans didn't fancy. So I can take on board all that confidence. But if you'd have said to Brendan Rodgers and Celtic, look, you'll be 5 points, I know there's a game in hand, but you're 5 points in front just now, they'd probably bit your hand off it.
Yeah, but
they
always do that though, don't we? I get that, fine, if you'd asked him in August, I'm sure he would have.
But if you'd asked him, of course.
Is that not the point? Because I think Frank's talking about, he now feels this is like a sign of things to come. He feels like Rangers are improving and Celtic aren't. You know, it's more about kind of assessing as you go along, is it not?
I agree that I think Rangers are improving. I think they're getting better under a manager, and I'm excited for Rangers January coming up, because I'd like to see what he's going to bring in. If he does bring in players, is he going to change his system, style of play? But what he's walked into and worked with, you've got to say he's been excellent. But I get back to my first statement about Celtic. They're a mixed bag for me. They could go out next week. I think it's Hearts have got Celtic Park. They could go out and batter Hearts 4 or 5-0. That's the kind of the team they are. They're not that consistent just now where they used to be. You don't know what you're getting. I always look at Celtic now and think they can give up a goal, but then on the other hand, they can go up the pitch and score 3, 4, 5. No problem whatsoever. So it's a sort of mixed bag, but I can totally take on board the Rangers fans' excitement.
Yeah, I agree with a lot that Gordon said there. And I think, as I said before, one big problem for Celtic is they're inconsistent in 90 minutes as well. They can play well for 60 minutes, and if they don't get the number of goals in them 60 minutes, they put themselves under pressure, because I do think they do lose goals as well. I just think Rangers are getting better under Clement, but I still think they've got a long way to go. I still think they're going to get even better. What I would say, I think it's a massive, massive January for both clubs. I think the recruitment in January will decide who wins the title this season.
See, before we even get to that, Frank, how important is it that Rangers keep up? Well, obviously it's important that you're confident Rangers can keep up their end of the bargain until the sides meet.
I would say so. I would say Thursday night's going to be a good tester. If we get a result on Thursday night, it's a good chance we could top the group. Gonna get into also the weekend with a result on Thursday night. I mean, if we keep playing this way and Celtic are playing the way they're playing, I think you'd be daft, honestly. Honestly, I think you'd be daft to say that Rangers haven't got a really, really strong chance of winning it. I mean, we Jordy, I work with, I've spoke about him before, I'm a diehard Celtic fan. You can see a defeated man after the weekend. In the last game, getting a lot of stick. Said, sorry about my language, but the bottom's bust.
Frank's apologised for his language. I'll apologise on his behalf. That's not what I needed at this time on a Tuesday night, quite
wee
frankly.
Wee Geordie's not happy either.
I feel like is wee Geordie paying him to get mention on this?
Oh yeah, you just go on Frank, but make sure you get my name in. I'm wee Geordie.
Yes, my apologies for Frank's industrial language. It's interesting because we keep getting, and rightly so, you know, we're mentioning the fact that the points gap, what it is at the moment, and the two games in hand, the game in hand. But the difficulty with that, what no one's really mentioned yet, is the fact that can change. That will change again this weekend, because Rangers obviously have bigger fish to fry. They're in the cup, and then you don't know what Rangers do with their game in hand. Maybe it's going to take a while for that to even itself out.
Yeah, it is. And again, listen, all Celtic can do is bounce back. They need to get a reaction first and foremost in the European game tomorrow night. But then they've got league business to take care of against Hearts on Saturday at home. They'll be glad it's at home, I'm pretty sure. And that'll be a difficult game within itself. Hearts, again, I think are hot and cold, but they're starting to get a few players back, so it could be a tricky one for them on Saturday as well.
0141 951 1025. I do have some breaking news for you as well currently, and it is that José Cifuentes has been unsuccessful in his appeal against the red card picked up against Dundee. It means he will miss Sunday's League Cup final at a time when Rangers don't have many midfielders available, and he'll also miss the St Johnstone game in the league as well. What's your reaction to that?
Not surprised.
Not surprised?
No, I called it at the weekend when I watched the incident, Gordon. I thought it was a red. I thought the referee and the officials made the right decision. I can hear all the arguments from other pundits and ex-players talking about they thought maybe a yellow and they would appeal it and get away with it. I've no problem with Rangers appealing it. They're quite right to have a go because you never know what happens in the appeal. But I am not surprised with that decision. And it leaves Rangers with a slight problem in the middle of the park for a cup final.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it was a red card when you look at it. And I agree, I get why they have appealed it, because it is one that, again, could be looked at either way. But not surprised it's been overturned.
Gordon calls it a slight problem ahead of the weekend. You could maybe use stronger language. I'm not saying Cifuentes has been sensational,
no,
but at a time when, I suppose we don't have a latest update on Ryan Jack, but at a time when Nicholas Raskin, Tom Lawrence, etc. are out of the team.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a problem, but again, they've got players that could fill into that position, maybe not naturally and be your first choice, but again, it's a cup final, it's an opportunity for another player to step into the team and show what they can do on Sunday.
I think he could tweak his system a little bit.
Do you?
I think he could go with the four, probably Lundstrom sitting in front of the back four, and then stick four and one up top. That brings people like maybe Lammers coming back into the fold. You know, two wide men, Lammers and Cantwell, yep, just playing off Dessers. So he could tweak his system to go and suit what, the personnel he's got.
What was your view, sorry, just for clarity, on that incident itself? Did you think it was a red, or is it because it's a higher bar to try and overturn an appeal, you didn't think they would win the appeal anyway? Do you know what I mean? Like, at the time?
At the time,
Well, I mean sort of Saturday night, if you
right,
like.
When I seen the replays and stuff.
I think it's
a red, yeah.
That's fine. The next bit of the conversation is wiped out. Because obviously, it almost has to be like, in some ways, it has to be like really bad error to get it overturned on appeal. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get ones where you think, oh, I'm not sure that's a red, but they're not winning the appeal. But you both thought it was a red anyway, but so that speaks for
again,
itself.
Again, you don't know how this appeal's going to go, because the Dundee one that everyone thought wasn't
a
red ended up, they overturned it and give him a yellow. Am I right in saying that?
You're right.
Which is incredible. But again, I think that's why Rangers have put it out there and tried to get it overturned.
Yeah, I've no problem with them trying to get it overturned. They'd nothing really to lose apart from
the money.
The money that they have to pay, but I would have been surprised if you'd have told me a different decision there, Gordon.
0141 951 1025. Any reactions to that then? Failed appeal on José Cifuentes' red card. What do you make of that? Get the calls in right now. And Celtic fans, very simple question. Talk to me about your feelings. I don't mean to go that deep, but how much do you care about tomorrow night? How much does it matter? Let's kind of get to the bottom of that. There's finances, there is professional pride, there is the chance to boost the points total, but clearly nothing more can sort of be achieved in Europe. So how much does it matter? What do you think about tomorrow in that regard? 0141 951 1025, and we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call
Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
141951 1025 Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hammy Bell and Gordon DL are here. 141951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. Why not give us a call? Let us know what is on your mind tonight. The breaking news this evening: Rangers have been unsuccessful in the appeal against Jose Cifuentes' red card at the weekend. What's your reaction to that? Are you surprised? Are you not? And what the Rangers do about it, because they've got a bit of a midfield shortage. As for tomorrow, Celtic fans, the question I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, how much does it matter? What do you think about it? Because there's £2 million on offer, coefficient points, if you care about that sort of thing, but obviously not a great deal more than that. Maybe kind of pride, and it makes the record look a bit better, all that sort of stuff. But does that stuff float your boat? Let's ask Andy in Royston. Andy, how do you feel about tomorrow? Sum up.
Yeah, I don't know, Gordon. I think it's you mentioned all the things there about money and about bounce back for Sunday and stuff like that. Champions League's really important. And all we get thrown at was these days is that Celtic haven't won a home tie since 2014. How would it not be really nice to go into next season's campaign and say the last time Celtic won at home in the Champions League was the last game they played? You know, it's good for everybody around about and picks the club up. I made an analogy earlier on the day, and it's... See, Scotland fans, every 4 years we wait to get to the World Cup, and since 1970 when I was born, there's been, I don't need to do the maths here actually, about 12. And every time we qualify, we all celebrate because we understand how important the tournament is. But the Champions League, there's only 32 teams in it across the whole of the continent. There's probably about 320 teams trying to get into it. Celtic are in a stage of development where they get 2 points last year. If they can get the 4 points, it doesn't matter what you say, it's improvement. So I think it's something to go for. Obviously, the money's important. But I think, just in terms of the feel run about the club, I think it's an important time to go and get a victory in that tournament to show some sort of progression. Because even, I mean, when you're having conversations with potential signings, hopefully in January, you don't want to be coming off the back of being that club who just are only going into the Champions League to participate. You want to have some sort of a... positive news story to tell. So I think tomorrow's important.
How important, Gordon? Oh, there's a scale here.
I think Andy talks a lot of good sense here. I think it is very important. I think
is it very important?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to pick you up on every word you use.
I think it's very important.
Is it?
And yes,
important as
cause
that.
Because I think Andy underlines that you want to beat last year. You want to, you know, get a bit of confidence. Obviously, they've come in for a lot of criticism at the weekend. Their performances were poor. I just think there's, especially with now Rangers breathing down your neck, you want to start that good feel factor again going. Because a lot of Celtic fans just now are on a little bit of, you know, and if they're honest, they're thinking, oh, hold on a minute, things aren't as good as what they should be at Celtic Park. Brendan Rodgers is coming in for a bit of criticism. Now, a month ago, he was absolutely brilliant, delighted to have him back. They're starting to question one or two of the signings, one or two of the players. So if you can get into a Champions League tomorrow night, front of a packed house, and you get a good performance and a good win, yes, it'll give you that good lift. Of course it will. I think it'll be good for them, especially getting into a very important time in December.
I mean, the funny thing is, in a normal conversation, Cammy, £2 million is a lot, even to Celtic. Massive. In fact, it's slightly more than that, I think. So £2 million, but I can almost sense a lot of Celtic fans saying, oh, well, there's 72 in the bank, and you know, it's not making as much of a difference as we would like anyway. Again, same to you. Sum up the importance then.
Yeah, I think it's really important for a number of reasons. And Andy touched on a number of reasons there that, again, you want to better yourself. You want progression. So it's an opportunity for that to happen. You want to get away from this, when was your last win in the Champions League? And as he said, next season when you go into the Champions League, if they're in the Champions League, then you want to be able to... That's away from you. Forget about that because we've won the last game. Again, Sunday It's all the players, the fans, everyone will be hurting at the club about the result on Sunday. They don't want negativity to start festering in. If you get two defeats in a row as a Celtic player or as a manager, you're in for criticism. So they need to turn that around quickly. And we can't dismiss the financial side of things. £2 million, a lot of money for one game of football. It's a lot of money. It's an opportunity to go and get that. Whether it goes in the bank or goes into Brendan Rodgers' transfer funds, we don't know. That's up to the board, but it's an opportunity for the club to make a significant amount of money in one game.
Whilst you're on, Andy, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers then, because he was sort of hinting, I think, that he will give some players a bit of an addition, if you like, to show what they can do in the Champions League as they finish off this campaign.
Because of the situation we have with injuries and, of course, with all the games that we have played before and after this game, it will give the opportunity for players to play. And I think that's, by the time I reach January, I think a lot of the players in the squad that will have had the opportunity to play games and play games through all the levels and then can be assessed from there. But whatever team we put out, we're putting the team out always to win.
As an example, Andy, is this where there will always be a limit on the importance of the game, though? Cameron Carter-Vickers, I think, was... You know, he wasn't risked at the weekend. By all accounts, he'll be fit tomorrow. He'll be fit for the weekend. If it was a game where qualification hinged on it, then he would probably play. Is that fair? Is there always going to be that bit of importance taken away?
I don't know about that. I think, on reflection, I thought he's maybe played Nat Phillips on Sunday because his loan spell's coming to an end and he has to make a decision whether to keep him or not and get him a game. I don't think it worked. But as far as Carter Vickers is concerned, now that I find out he's not fit for tomorrow night, my thoughts are that the reason he played Phillips is he had to get 90 minutes under his belt because he needs to play him. What Brendan Rodgers says there for me, what he's saying is he's probably going to have to give some people a game that in other circumstances might not have had a game now. Taking away the what I've said, we need to try and win tomorrow night. I think after tomorrow night, he's actually going to be in a better position than he was 2 weeks ago, simply because for those players who, inverted commas, are fringe players, they're going to get an opportunity to play their way out of the squad. I know that sounds ridiculous, but those who have stepped in, they just haven't done enough, which makes Brendan Rodgers' conversation in January, or even before that, when Maeda and Abada hopefully are back, it makes his conversations with these fringe players a lot easier when they've had an opportunity and no taking it.
Where does that leave Nat Phillips then, Andy? Because Mike Navrotsky's not in the European squad, so he's not an option. Gustav Lagerbielka clearly is. Mm-hmm. Nat Phillips is obviously ahead of them in the pecking order. Does he play tomorrow, or are you worried about his form?
I don't rate him at all. I don't speaking to my pals on the sort of WhatsApp group before the game on Sunday when I seen his name listed after the Hibs game, I was joking, I know, bet sensibly and all that stuff, but having a bet on both teams to score, because I don't rate him. I don't see enough for him to play. But unfortunately, I don't think Lagerbielka is any better. I would not be surprised if Awata is centre back tomorrow night.
Wow, what would that say, Gordon Neil?
I don't think that'll be the case. I do agree with Andy. I watched Phillips at the weekend, Gordon, and he did not impress me at all. Now, obviously, there's something in the lad, right? You don't go to these clubs down in England if you've not got a billy. We've seen
also not played a lot of football in his entire career, though.
You know, we witnessed it with Shane Duffy coming up here, and he looked like a fish out of water for me. Phillips is the exact same. I could not believe. I was watching the game and I thought, if Kilmarnock get that defence in the second half, they'll get rewards, because Phillips was all over the place. All over the place.
Has he played his way out of the team for tomorrow?
Me personally, I would certainly not play him. You've got an international footballer you brought in for a lot of money, Lagerbielka. Now, somewhere along the line, if you're talking about giving fringe players now, I think Brendan Rodgers is playing this very cleverly, because I think he knows a lot of the fringe players. He knows that they're not good enough to take him where he wants to go, but if I was there tomorrow night, and it's a game, it's all about money, it's all about getting that pride back, it's all about getting that confidence going again. And look, Celtic have got that. They've got very good players and a very good manager. But they need to kick on again, especially after the weekend. I would certainly be looking at Lagerbielka and saying, right, OK, here's your opportunity, because, as I say, I would never understand it if you put Phillips back on the pitch tomorrow night. I thought he was dreadful.
It's a difficult one, Cammy, because even on the, like, Brendan Rodgers is clearly picking the team that he thinks has got the best chance to win.
Yep.
Fine, right? Yep. And when you get a lone player, that's just part of it. But at a time then, I mean, surely tomorrow, if we're saying that it is, yes, you two think it's important, but it's clearly of limited importance, why would you edge towards a guy who's not playing well anyway, and he's gone in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think they've got Lagerbielke in. He's not convinced me either. I seen him the first game at Kilmarnock, where they got defeated in the League Cup, and I know it was his first game. He looked very nervous. Again, I look at him, I don't think he's a physical centre-half. He's not really impressed me that much on the ball either, to be honest. So I don't know if that'll be an area that Brendan Rodgers will be. Obviously, he's looking for Cameron Carter-Vickers to get back fit, but is that an area he's going to look long-term and trying to bring somebody else in? But
I know.
Listen, they've spent a lot of money in there. But
what about
not...
tomorrow then, though?
Tomorrow, I think they've got to play Lagerbielke. They've got to give him the opportunity, because I agree, Phillips was really, really poor on Sunday.
And if he does, it will be his first appearance since the 30th of September, when Celtic beat Motherwell at Fir Park.
Which makes you think that Brendan Rodgers isn't having him.
Brendan Rodgers has publicly said as much, hasn't he? Talking about them not
doing
it. I don't
think Brendan Rodgers is having a lot of the fringe players, I've got to say.
But there are fringe players, and then there's guys that you paid good money for.
And that's the reason why I'll be surprised if he goes with Phillips, because you summed it up, Gordon. He's on loan. He'll about the Rangers, Celtic are never going to re-sign him or try to sign him. Never in a million years. So you may as well, you brought an investment in.
Go and learn about him.
Exactly.
I know he got sent off in the Champions League in the away.
And it's a big stage tomorrow, right? And the pressure will be on. There'll be a big crowd there. And they've come off a bad result. So you need to see the character in the lad. So put him out tomorrow night and let's see what he's got.
Thank you to Andy. Let's bring in John, who's also a Celtic fan. John, how are you feeling? We've had a Rangers fan on saying the bubbles burst and all that stuff. Whoa. And there's a bit of question marks about Europe tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Oh, good evening, Gordon and Cammy.
Hello.
It's music to my ears, and a lot of other Celtic fans. I love the bubbles burst. Journalists, the bubbles burst. They get called bubbles burst. This is a team proven champions, right? This is a team, it's got a club with money coming out of his ears. Okay, the tin's not been opened to now, but it will be, trust me. But I love to hear it. I'm loving every bit of it. Like the bubbles burst, the defeat and all this and blah, blah. See, at the end of the season, see the trophies that's in the cabinet. That's what we'll do the talking. But at this moment in time, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Come January, Rangers are going to get two bob. We know that. The finances are not great. We know that. Celtic are a big club. Celtic are a wealthy club. Come January, Brendan Rodgers will be given the finances to strengthen that club, that team, and he'll bring his own players in. Right, the summer man was, I think, was Angie's projects, etc., etc., right? We're 5 points clear. Listen, I would rather be sitting right now, and if Cammy Bell, Gordon Dale, if you tell me differently, then you're laughable. I would rather be sitting right now with 5 points clear, right, at the top of the league, than chasing with 5 points clear in a game in hand. They come to Celtic Park, right, now, hypothetically, right, we win, which I think we will anyway, but a better team, we win, we go 8 points. So where's the bubble burst then? All the journalists that's jumping on the bandwagon now, I'm loving it. It's music to my ears, and it's music to a lot of Celtic fans' ears.
What if the money that becomes available to Celtic in January is spent on players like Gustav Lagerbielke and Mike Navrotsky again?
It wouldn't be, because Brendan Rodgers are different. He's a different type of man. He knows a player. He's proven he knows a player. He's brought the Sinclairs in, etc., etc., etc. He knows.
There was a lot of good signings, but I think there were quite a few Brendan Rodgers. And by the way, obviously there's a big scouting team and all that sort of stuff, but there was a few players that were signed under Brendan Rodgers that didn't hit the ground running, surely.
Can I ask the question just now to the two former players there?
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, I'll ask you first then, Cammy. Gordon, would you rather be sitting in Celtic position or Rangers?
Oh, off.
Just answer. Just answer.
I would rather be sitting top of the league, Celtic's position, yeah.
Thank you. Cammy?
Yeah. You want to be in that top spot. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, no, but we've just, what does that, what does that prove, John? No, I don't think anyone, there is no debate there, though. Everybody would say that, wouldn't they? You've come on and sort of presented the question as if that proves some sort of point. Of course you would rather be top. That's not the debate here, is it?
Ah, but then again, why are you debating about seeing those bubbles burst and all that?
I mean, I didn't see it.
Tell me this then, John. See, I'll ask you a question. See if you couldn't buy players in January. Would you be worried with the squad you've got?
No, listen to me. I'm going to throw that straight back at you. You just made a statement, Gordon, about there's not a chance Phillips is getting signed with Celtic, right? And I'm going to tell you something that I'm going to say in mind. There's not a chance Celtic won't be spending any money in January, but of course we will be. You know what? And everybody in the granny knows it, Gordon.
John, I don't think he's saying that they won't. No. I think it's a roundabout way of asking you, what do you think about the current squad? What do you think about the current squad? That's what he's asking you.
Listen, the current squad just now, Gordon, Brendan Rodgers said it himself. This current squad is busting at the seams. We've got too many fringe players. We've got guys picking up wages. I'm not even on the park, I'm not even on the grass, right? That'll be getting cut right back. We'll separate, but if you want to say fringe players or whatever, no good enough players, that'll get cut away. Trust me, see, come the end of the season, I'll be one happy man, and I'll tell you, they might be shouting for Mr. Clemons head.
Maybe.
I'll hate that one. I'm trusting John, whatever he says.
He's a very convincing man, is John on the line.
You've got to trust him.
Yeah, but listen,
trust him.
Of course you want to be sitting on top of the league at this moment in time, but again, you flip the coin, but we're nowhere near, we're not even halfway through the season yet. So, and what you could look at from a Rangers point of view is, you see, you could have the first domestic trophy in the cabinet, and you could be 5 points behind with a game in hand. So it's only 2 points if they win the game in hand.
Philippe Clement's not had any chance to bring his own
players. So, I think it's, I totally agree with John that you want to be sitting top of the league. Of course you do. But I just feel as if...
See where I think the problem is, Cammy, and I listen to John saying there, we'll get rid of X, Y and Z, right? Bringing in players, because Celtic are cash rich. They've got money. No problem. Bringing in players, they'll go and get players. But for me, the hardest job will be trying to unload some of the players that's in the building and decent wages. And all of a sudden, that gives you a problem.
Thank you very much to John. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cammy Bell and Gordon Dalziel are here. Why not give us a call? I teased you before the break. I was about to tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Gordon Dalziel was just telling me during the break he's wasted a lot of money over the years texting weird numbers and getting strange replies back, but I can absolutely guarantee you I've got much better value for your money here, because if you text CAR to 84901, just do it right now and I'll explain. Text CAR to 84901, thanks to Arnold Clark, you could win a brand new BMW 1 Series, and at the same time you donate £5 to Cash for Kids to help children in our communities that need heating and food and clothes and just anything really to make their lives a bit better this Christmas time. Every night I describe it as like the ultimate win-win. I can't think of a better way to put it. A fiver to local children that need your help, and you might win a BMW 1 Series thanks to Arnold Clark. Brand new, kitted out, a lovely, lovely car. It does obviously cost your standard network rate message as well, but what a difference it would make to local children, and it would make quite the difference to you if you had the brand new car as well, I'm sure. So if you want involved, the lines close, the entries close 6pm Saturday the 16th of December. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. So text CAR to 84901 to enter. Best of luck from us, and straight back to the calls, just like that. You could wait until the next break, but don't hang around, just get that text fired over. Raja's on the line, how's it going?
How are you doing, gentlemen? No speak, long time, you know?
How are you doing? What's your point tonight?
Right, my point is, all these people on this phone or Celtic are in a bubble burst and all that, that's a lot, come on. We've got two or three major players that are out. We lost Jota, we lost this, but I'm sure in January it'll be easier, and you know Rangers' finances, and they'll be lucky if they can sign a guy for £500,000.
See if Celtic have all this advantage over Rangers, though, is that Is it surprise you then? Is that not even more annoying, more frustrating, that it could be down to 2 points if they win their game in hand?
Listen, brother, you know what, brother, it just seems when you get injuries and a team is allowed to have an off day. Yeah, just an off day.
Oh, listen, I get that, but I mean, Rangers have bad injuries as well, don't they? That's kind of, that's the point.
I know, but what I'm saying is just Celtic and have an off day. I mean, Rangers got beat 3-1 at Ibrox off Aberdeen. Yeah. And Aberdeen's not one of the best teams in the world.
Sure, but I mean that's the number. That's the point. That result brought about a change in Rangers' managerial circumstance. Surely that's where a bit of the frustration kicks in for some Celtic fans. Fine, not Raja. Fine, not John. This is a Rangers team that have been so bad, to use the quote, that this season, that they had to sack a manager. They've still got numerous players who. Even the most optimistic Rangers fans are kind of struggling to get on board with. They're not flying at all, and they could be 2 points behind Celtic. That has to be of some sort of frustration. Maybe Raja's very optimistic, which is fine.
Yeah, I think it is frustration. But I do agree in the sense that, you know, losing one game, I think if you look at the draws, especially teams like St Johnstone at Celtic Park, which didn't really happen under the Postecoglou era. I think that, and also the way they're playing at the weekend, I thought second half, they just weren't up for a fight at all. Brendan Rodgers came out days prior to the fact that St Johnstone game at Perth, when he says it's the angriest he's ever been as a manager. So they're not firing on all cylinders, but I said earlier, it's not a their bubble's not burst for me. I would expect Celtic, maybe if they go out and play at the top level against Hearts, they could easily run over the top of Hearts, win it 3-4 comfortably. They're that tight of team now. I think where the sort of a concern is, I think a lot of Celtic fans thought that Rangers were well out of the picture, and they made that big decision to sack Michael Beale, brought in, which looks like the right guy, Clement, and he's starting to get a tune out of them. January, I think Cammy's right, massive time for both teams, because it doesn't matter how much money you've got, it's what you bring into the building. We've looked at players coming in for the big price tags and not hit the ground running. We've looked at guys coming in for lower price tags and made such a big impact. So that's got to be very, very important. But I'm not going along with Celtic's bubbles burst, because I still think they've got the capability of going on a good run and blowing teams away.
So no doubt, no question, no worry, Raja, Celtic go on, win the league from here.
Easy. As long as Maida comes back and Hatate. Do you know the biggest player we miss? Not Jota, but Hatate. Hatate's the main man in that midfield. You can put Tambo and you can put anybody in that midfield, but see Hatate, that's the main guy we missed all this season. But hopefully in the second half of the season, we'll get him back and Maida on the right hand side. Easy. I'm going to be serious. I'm going to tell you seriously, it'll be so easy that Rangers when you get lucky. They're going to be lucky if they win against Aberdeen.
Well, that is the next challenge for sure. And by the way, it might be easy at the end, and then Roger can phone and say, I told you. I just love it. It's the confidence this early on. I'd be too scared to stick my neck on the line. Good news on the injury front. Maeda, Hatate, they trained today. Hatate you won't see, by all accounts, until after the winter break anyway. I think that's the message for now. But Maeda's clearly getting closer. To Celtic specifically, you would say that's obviously good news. I think if you're Derek McInnes or you're whatever saying, oh yeah, well, you know, Celtic should still have enough to beat. No, Derek McInnes wouldn't say this, but you know, everybody else said Celtic should have enough to be beating Kilmarnock without Dyes in Maida, acting as if he's, you know, he's the missing piece. But if you're Celtic and you're keeping it isolated there, it does make a big difference, doesn't it?
Listen, they're big players that they are missing at the moment, but again, you touched on it, you would expect that they have enough to domestically certainly go and win these games of football. I just think the inconsistency, the ones, again, the loss against Kilmarnock, it's a difficult place to go. They've already lost there this season in the League Cup, and then you've drew against Motherwell at home, St Johnstone at home, obviously a draw against Hibs away as well. They're all, that's why for me that Celtic haven't been that consistent in games and been really blown it away this season, because we've spoke about Rangers have had to change their manager this season. That's how poor they've been for a period. They've picked up since then. So I still think there's a long way to go, and I still go by what I said before, the recruitment in January. And listen, you can have all the money in the world, you need to get the recruitment right. Look, Celtic have signed a couple of £4 million players that don't get a game for them at the moment.
Thank you very much to Raja. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. I'll tell you what, the pundits have been having a terrible time. Mark Wilson got back on track, he had a win last night. Last night's Beat the Pundit was a roller coaster.
Get him back on, admit, whoever Mark beat.
What a roller coaster it was. Let's see what we've got tonight. If you want to play against Cammy Bell or Gordon Dalziel, you have to call right now, 01419511025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here. Cammy Bell is alongside him, and they're both hoping that you'll get in touch between now and 8 o'clock. 01419511025. The breaking news when we came on is that the appeal against the red card shown to José Cifuentes has been unsuccessful. Are you surprised, disappointed? Do you agree? And what do Rangers do about it? Because they've got a bit of a midfield issue ahead of the League Cup final. Celtic fans, we're trying to get to the bottom of how much tomorrow matters in the Champions League. Are you willing to write it off? You know, how important is a win? What can you gain from it? All that sort of stuff. There's been a bit of toing and froing about whether Celtic's bubble has burst or not. A phrase introduced by a caller that everyone is seemingly wanting to argue about, which is absolutely fine. And if you've got anything else on your mind at all, it's 01419511025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's play tonight's Beat the Pundit. I think we went 3 or 4 in a row for the listeners last week. You were responsible for one of them.
Oh, I had a bad day.
Oh, you were awful.
I wasn't well. But I'm back to
full fitness.
I was terrible. Honestly, I just could see stars with it and everything. Just wasn't happening for me.
Anyway,
too many lame sips.
Do you know what? That's you would probably be the only guy I know that would potentially OD on lame sips,
yeah,
because you're just so compulsive.
Uh huh.
I mean, we've established on the show before. Is this the first time you two have ever done the show
together?
No.
Yeah. Do you know that he drinks upwards of 15 coffees in a day?
15.
Upwards of 15 coffees in a day.
That's before 12 o'clock.
So that's the type of character you're dealing with. Yeah. So you can only imagine how many lem sips he goes through when he's not feeling well. So,
jeez.
Oh, I do. OD and everything. A full bottle of night nurse.
Steady.
The old night nurse and bim. There you go. Good sleep.
Good sleep,
though. Good sleep. The nurse is all right. Good sleep.
No one needs to know about your night nurse or what else you've got in your medicine cabinet, right? I think we better leave that there, right?
What night is it? Is it Wednesday night you have the bath?
Bath night, yeah.
Do you get that stuff on prescription anyway?
Yeah.
Right, 01419511025. These questions are really hard tonight, by the way. Let me warn you. That one right over your head, never mind. Let's meet tonight's contestant, who's Johnny in Annie's Land. How's it going, Johnny?
Hi, good, Gordon. How are you guys, all right?
Not bad. You're a Motherwell fan, Johnny?
Indeed, yeah.
You and I are getting to that before the end of this call. But Beat the Pundit-wise, have you ever played before?
Never, just in the car.
Quite right, good. Right, well, I'll toss the coin. Heads, it's Cammy Bell. Tails, it is Gordon Dalziel. And it is, look at that, the Motherwell derby between Johnny and Gordon.
I'll deliver the ball if you win, Johnny.
No, he's for Annie's Land.
Is he? No, forget that, Johnny. There's an 8 second delay. We're just about to press the button there, mate.
Right, what we'll do is give Gordon some Greatest Hits radio to listen to nice and loud so he can't hear us. Johnny, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can, and if you'd rather pass and move on, fine by me, okay?
No problem.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish top flight?
Gordon Strachan.
Which Scottish League One side play at Meadowbank Stadium?
Edinburgh City.
Ronnie Dyla left a club in which country to join Celtic?
Norway.
Name any current St Mirren player who's been capped by Australia.
Pass.
Who was the last player Celtic signed from Motherwell?
David Turnbull.
Name any SPFL side who's still unbeaten in the league.
Akis.
Which former Celtic manager was sacked by Sunderland last week?
Tony Mowbray.
I think we got that one in just in time. Gordon DL, can you hear us? Are you back? Hello, Earth to Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
What were you listening to? Any Christmas music on?
Who was that?
No, I don't know who that was.
She's got a hold on me. Come on, join on. I'm trying my best here. By the way, what are you all about? It's me he's playing.
Cammy likes to take part. He likes to write them down. He's not very good, but he likes to take part. Right, 30 seconds, Gordon DL. Your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish top flight?
Ferguson.
Which Scottish League One side play at Meadowbank Stadium?
Meadowbank Stadium? Pass.
Ronnie Dyla left a club in which country to join Celtic?
Norway.
Name any current St Mirren player who has been capped by Australia.
Pass.
Who was the last player Celtic signed from Motherwell?
Turnbull.
Name any SPFL side who's still unbeaten in the league.
Dundee United. Oh, got off to a bad start.
What are we thinking, Johnny? What are we thinking?
It's tight.
No. Is it tight?
The last talk me through the first one here.
Jeez.
Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish top flight?
Oh, Gordon Bennett.
No, it wasn't him either. No.
What
did you say?
I thought you meant outside. I thought you meant outside Celtic and Rangers.
What? How did you take that from that question?
I don't know.
Johnny said Gordon Strachan.
Yeah, you have the Wayne Strachan.
It's actually Walter Smith.
Is it?
2010-11, right? So 0-0. League One side who play at Meadowbank is Edinburgh City. 1-0 to Johnny. Ronnie Dyla left a club in Norway to join Celtic. You both got it, so it's 2-1 to Johnny. Name any current St Mirren player capped by Australia. Cammy
Backus.
Keanu Backus played at the World Cup, remember?
So he did.
And Ryan Strain as well.
Did Johnny get it?
No,
I should have got Strain because I got it wrong the last time. Roger Hannah slaughtered
exactly.
me.
Exactly. It stays 2-1. The last player Celtic signed from Motherwell was David Turnbull. You both got it, 3-2 to Johnny.
Oh, I need this.
Name either SPFL side or any SPFL side who are still unbeaten in the league. We've had this question about 8 times this season. It's Falkirk or Dundee United, which Gordon DL got, and Johnny said Hamilton Accies.
Is Hamilton unbeaten?
No.
So you've equalised.
Oh!
But Johnny got one more question.
Oh no!
Which former Celtic manager was sacked by Sunderland last week?
Ah, no!
Tony Mowbray, and a 4-3 win for Johnny in Annie's land. Well done, Johnny.
Thanks very much, lads. Sad lines, Gordon.
However, your team can't get a win at the moment. What's happening?
I was there on Saturday, Gordon. They were a wee bit better. There's hope. We won't go down.
Interesting. I said to Cammy at one of the breaks, I'd spoke to my mates who were at the game, and that was the exact phrase. They were a bit better. They're clearly a bit of fight there, Johnny. There's clearly a bit of character. I think it's the 7th goal in injury time this season. They're doing their bit. Is that enough for you then? You think it will turn or at least be okay in the end?
I think we'll get Big Kev back in January and we'll be alright.
Well, that would be quite something. Mr. Van Veen, if he's listening, what do you think, Gordon DL, Cammy Bell?
If you get Big Kev back at January, I'd play him defence because losing too many goals. I think Motherwell are struggling just now. What they got, St Mirren next away, got to be really difficult. And then they've got Rangers come to Fir Park.
Yep.
Losing too many goals for me, Gordon. Very lucky that showing a great bit of character, give them all the plaudits in the world for that, because, you know, it's very easy to put your head down, but they're getting those late equalisers, they're picking up a point here and there. You thought after Celtic at Parkhead, that could be a turning point. Once again, you know, we had to depend on a late equaliser at the weekend. Can't keep goals
13,
back.
13 games without a win, though, that's a long, long period. And I totally agree, the big problem is conceding goals, and goals that are avoidable. Individual mistakes has been to blame for a lot of them. And Stuart Kettlewell can't do a lot about that, because you can do all the work on the training pitch. If individuals make errors on a Saturday, then you're going to get hurt, and they're doing that at the moment. But as you say, I totally believe they're still fighting for the manager.
This is the sort of hypothetical that Hugh Evans throws out there, Johnny, and I disagree with him over, but I'll do it anyway, since he's not here. St Mirren away and Rangers at home. It's conceivable that that goes 15 without a winnie. Would you still be willing to kind of ride that out?
I think you've got it back, the gaffer. I think you'll be alright. I do. I think we'll be alright. I really do.
Yeah, you can understand elements of that.
I don't even think the Motherwell manager, Stuart Kettwell, would think that if he went 15 games without winning a game, that he'd still be getting back.
This is the thing, right, because I obviously get that, but then if you've let it get to 13, and you're going to, and let me.
So if you get to 15, do you let it get to 17?
No, but it's the nature of the fixtures though as well. Do you know what I mean?
Who you're playing?
If you're letting it get to 13, and you're saying that's fine, that's acceptable. Like I said, it's quite conceivable. So what Motherwell lose narrowly to St Mirren away, which is perfectly possible, and you're not expected to get anything off Rangers. If you're going to pull the trigger at the end of that, you would just do it now. Do you know what I mean? If you get hung up on the number between 13 and 15.
I think the manner of the defeats as well.
Yes, sure. I was going to say Saturday, massive that they don't get hammered.
And by the way, Motherwell might get something out of the two games.
Oh yeah, they might. But no, Motherwell will pick up six. Well, they'll pick up 6 points, I think.
Steady, just you slow down.
Four.
Johnny, it was good to speak to you. And a signed ball on its way to Annie's land as well. Good man.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Brilliant. There we go. What a,
can't
you're,
believe
you're
I
on a bad run. Is that two in a row?
Two in a row.
Oh,
I'm disgraceful. Like, I'm just giving away balls for fun now. It's Christmas.
Is that what it is?
Daddy Claus.
Just call you Santa.
Just call me Daddy Claus.
Imagine that.
Daddy Claus DL. giving balls away for fun. Who wants an R1? Phone in Thursday. 0141 951 1025.
Everything he says just sounds so sinister, doesn't it? Just like,
but I can't believe I never beat him. He was good.
No, listen, getting four out of them.
4-3.
Was decent, yep.
No, I got off to a bad start. I don't know if I just thought about the question.
Misheard the question?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I done that a few weeks ago and got hammered for it.
Did you mishear the which Scottish League one side play at Meadowbank?
I should have got that because obviously I ran there when I raced Alan Wells.
Oh, so he did. Forgot about this.
Do you know that, Cammy?
No.
Fastest man Scottish footballer.
Right, I don't want to dwell on this. He basically tries. He says he was as quick as Martin Boyle when he was a player. Right. Quicker than Martin Boyle.
All day long, mate.
We doubt this, and then someone tweeted in to say that they once saw Gordon racing Alan Wells at Meadowbank.
That's how quick it was.
Well, we didn't see how you got on.
Gold medal.
Might have been 50 metres behind him.
No, he just dipped in front of me. Couldn't believe it. Took cramp.
Right, enough of this nonsense. Cammy Bell's too trusting. He, you know, Mark Wilson calls you out on your rubbish. But Cammy Bell's just accepting of it.
I wonder how he got on the day. my Christmas has been given to me all in the one phone call today.
What do you mean? Explain yourself.
Well, somebody told me, Mark was on the show last night, you know, very proud of being the Partick Thistle coach.
Yep.
And doing a fantastic job. Speaking to him the other day there, he's working a lot of defensive play. And he phones me and he says, look, I'm playing at Hamilton Reserves. I'm playing at Hamilton.
He's not the reserve head coach.
Hold on. Let's not. Right, yeah. But he was a massive part of the squad today. He was in the dressing room doing the team talk.
How did they get on?
And they play Tamil. You might come over
Hamilton
and watch.
Hamilton against Thistle Reserves. What was the score?
Well, can I just say that he used to be in the seven club, the seven clubs when you lose in a game 7-0.
Yep.
He's now a member of the 10 club.
10 what?
10-0.
Was it really?
Look at the pleasure on your face.
10-0, and he's got a first aid course tonight with a sore head, probably. He'll be the dummy. Just you lie there, Mark. You're a bit dizzy. We might as well look after you.
So Aki's reserves beat Thistle Reserves 10-0.
10-0.
And Wilson was in the Thistle dugout.
Wilson was in the dugout, gave a wee speech at half time and full time, obviously. You know, let's win the second half. And by all accounts, it could have probably been 17, 18 if it was.
Wow. Well, I look forward to you two discussing this on
Thursday with me.
Oh, neither he is. He's at
a defensive coach SFA license.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. The breaking news once we came on here tonight was that the appeal for José Cifuentes' red card that he picked up at the weekend has been unsuccessful. He now misses the cup final against Aberdeen and the league game against St Johnstone. What are your thoughts, Paul, on the line?
I thanks for having me on, guys. Great show as always. I had also a potential lineup for the game against Aberdeen as well, Gordon, if you want me to share that. But I can give you my thoughts and suspense as well. I didn't see it as a surprise, to be honest, because the Ferry rarely turn it over when the ref goes to the monitor. So I never really thought they would turn it over against VAR, a VAR decision, because, again, it would probably raise questions about the purpose of VAR. So I didn't really see any surprises with that. Disappointed, but I think you're just going to take it in the chin, to be honest.
I get Paul's logic, because that's kind of the logic you would follow, but it can happen, Cammy. It happened with Tony Watt last season. Yeah. Against Motherwell, shown a yellow, VAR upgraded it to red, won the appeal. And I get why Paul's followed the kind of logical route. But ultimately, if you think about it, it is entirely possible, because you're just going to an independent panel who look at it more from a sort of legal angle as well. This isn't the panel of three referees or whatever that we used to discuss. It's just an independent judicial panel. It's got nothing to do with the refs, it's got nothing to do with VAR. So it is actually possible, but you take Paul's point. Once it does that, you're maybe a bit less inclined to think that you're going to be successful.
Yeah, it is less likely, but because we have seen, again, probably an inconsistency in the decisions, and again, you look at these people that are on the panel, and they're not footballing people. So, as you say, they're looking at the laws of the game, and the chances are, when you look at that one, yes, you could interpret that some of the laws of the games have been touched and he deserves a red card, but then other people will say that it wasn't a red card. So I get why Rangers went and done it. It was an opportunity to try and make him available for the weekend. It's not worked in their way, and it's cost them a few quid.
How big a blow is it, Paul, just in terms of personnel and who's available in that area at the moment? What's your solution?
We're hammered with injuries again. I feel like I'm saying that every year, but it's no added. It's no positive, but I'm wondering if it adds maybe a forces Clermont into a change at Rangers, which I'm kind of looking to see maybe we do. So my potential lineup was as follows, and you see what you think. It was a 4-1-4-1. So in goals, Butland, back four, the usual, Barisic left back, Tavernier right, with Goldson and Balogun in the middle. And then I think Lundstrom is a holding defensive midfielder, and then in front of him would be Matondo on the left, because I think he can do both sides. So I'd put Matondo on the left, McCausland on the right, Cantwell, and I'd be surprised here, maybe Dijon Sterling in midfield because of injuries and suspensions. And then up front, I'd put Seam up front as another surprise, because I think he's the best striker we've got at the club, and he's doing well in the left wing, but I just think we've got McCausland and we've got Matondo, so why not play two wingers there? And then that way, and I think you only need one defensive midfielder. I don't. It frustrates the life out of me why Rangers continually put Ryan, Jack, and Lundstrom as two defensive midfielders against SPFL opposition.
But look, it might need to be something like that, Gordon, because there just aren't many options.
I think Paul listened to the show all night and heard I said that at the beginning of the show. I think they'll go with one certain midfielder. Interesting, Matondo. I can see the pointing up with the pace. I don't think he will. I think he'll stick with Dessers through the middle, Gorn. He gets his goal at the weekend. He's a centre-forward, that's what he's there for. I don't think he'll bring him back out the team. Seema seems to be playing particularly well. I think the only difference with that is McCausland in the right-hand side, I think they can't well play, and I think that he might look at bringing back in Lammer.
I think the problem with predicting how Rangers get around this on Sunday, Cammy, is they play on Thursday, and we've done it a bit with Celtic tonight. It's a different conversation, because Rangers do have sort of tangible things that they can achieve on Thursday. But again, if there is that priority of, get through in the Europa League, they need to go strong on Thursday. Does everyone come through that unscathed? Do you just go kind of can't go same team again because of Cifuentes? But we're predicting a team for Sunday without knowing what's happening Thursday.
Yeah, I think Thursday they need to go as strong as they can. They need to try and win the game. And then I think they're two different games as well. So I think he could change the formation. We know how strong Betis are and how good they can be. And then Aberdeen, I agree, you don't need to play two defensive-minded players, but will he want to change it in a cup final with not a lot of days to work on it in the training pitch? I don't know. I'm unsure of what he will do, but again, it's a massive game on Thursday night. That's the biggest thing, first and foremost. They need to get a result from that.
I think, Paul, I don't think he'll be the only Rangers fan that says this. I like Seema. I'd like to see him playing through the middle. I think he could.
Seema, listen, the pace that he's got, he can hurt Aberdeen in behind. I think if you're looking at the Aberdeen game, him on the shoulder, playing in behind, balls over
and
the
top. And he makes very good runs. He does. Decent near if anything comes in for the wide areas as well.
I'm fascinated by the logic of this, right? Because I obviously know what you mean. But if you've got 13 goals this season, does that not suggest where he's playing right now is working?
Yeah, but
you know, there's no that surely it's not as it doesn't work just to say I'm playing through the middle. He'd have scored 18. You know, it's working there, isn't it? Why would you move?
What I'm saying, if they had, you know, they're looking, Danilo's out, right? He's probably a number one striker. If he doesn't fancy Dessers, then I would be looking at playing Seema through there. Now, the argument to that is you look at a coach of the quality of Brendan Rodgers, who has come in and change Kyogo at times, dropping off deep to go and play, and you're thinking, but Kyogo's best position is on the shoulder where he scored, what was it, 30-odd goals last year? Mm-hmm. So managers see different things depending how they're going to play, but I think he could play there.
Yeah.
I think the big question is if he's trying to fit McCausland and Matondo in the team, then you would look that Seema would probably be the one that would replace Dessers. And I think that's one of the ways that you would look at it. Again, does Roof get a shout in there playing up top? I know he's fit at the moment, so he's a very good player. He's scored big goals for Rangers.
Thank you to Paul on that. Matthew's a Aberdeen fan, and he says, no additional game for a frivolous appeal, or the clubs out with Celtic and Rangers only get that. The guys tonight say it's a red, ex-ref say it's a red, now the panel says it's a red. Evidently had little or no chance of success. Frivolous, says Matthew. I must admit, that's the one that I've never really, I don't really get, because there, you get these one or two, and I think Aberdeen have been done with it, haven't they? You get one or two examples randomly of teams that kind of get done for the frivolous one.
I'm trying to think, who was it? Shinny?
Yeah,
I think it was, wasn't it?
I always feel like
it was Ross County one at Shinny, the tackle up there, I think.
Because we talk about everything being subjective. That seems to me really subjective, that, you know, when you do or don't have a, because we're not talking like, yeah, if someone goes and kicks somebody in the head,
I'm unsure
or whatever,
who actually decides that. Is it the panel that decide that?
Yeah, I suppose it would have to be, yeah. But anyway. Right, 01419511025 or Twitter. Lots of tweets coming in. I mean, you just don't know where Twitter's going to take you. Jamesy just wants to point out that it's a winter in Bahrain, so he's sitting outside the pub with the headphones in, 22 degrees in the winter. This very guy lovely. Next to me is depressed because he can't get out in the golf course, so he does not want to hear that. And David Forrest says he took his wee girl to soft play today and saw Gordon Duncan there. That sounds about right. That's where I spend my days. He says he must have been there to get some sensible opinions before spending the evening with Jordan Dielle and Cammy Bell. There we are. Right, get the calls in. We'll get a full-time teaser next as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dielle, Cammy Bell, both here. 0141 951 1025 to get in touch. Still here for another half hour or so as we build up to a big night, big couple of nights in Europe coming off the back of a big weekend as well. So there is lots to get through. It'd be nice to hear from as many of you as possible. Let me set up this question for you first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
You asked me during the break the difficulty of this teaser, and I said that it was quite tough. I've actually changed my mind. I think it's particularly tough.
I'm afraid.
So it's Richard and Falkirk who sent it in. Big thank you to Richard. And he wants you to name the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final. Can you name the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final?
McTominay.
Yes. He was the most recent, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, well done.
Tierney?
No.
Andy Robertson.
Yes, yep. Generally a good bet for having achieved things down south. Well done.
Gary Caldwell.
No, see, this is the thing. This is what's going to throw you. You've gone Cup, Wigan, that was the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think he played in the final. But anyway.
All right, okay.
That's by the by.
Mick Burney.
Nah, now you're stretching it, I'm afraid.
Nah, just gone Scots. Right, okay.
Oh, it's...
Okay.
It's a bit tough,
that's
isn't
a tough
it?
One, that.
Yeah. Right, okay, so
I'm
you're
not
looking
great
at
English FA Cup final.
No, League Cup final.
League Cup final.
Scott McTominay and Andy Robertson. Who are the other eight
Fletcher?
Of the last? Stephen Fletcher, well done.
He didn't mean
you
that.
Meant Darren.
You meant
no,
Darren.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I meant Stephen Fletcher.
Any Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher, I'll give you.
Any
Fletcher. Because you need all the help you can get, quite frankly. Okay.
Snodgrass.
No, but
good
it's
show.
Not too bad, right? Yep. Well, I mean, it's not a great shout because it's wrong, but fair enough. That's not bad, not bad.
Morrison.
Three. When you're going to learn to speak when you're spoken
Morrison.
To? No.
Okay.
It's bad enough when you talk over me for correct answers, never mind ones that are wrong. Right, we'll leave it there. Let's bring in Gavin, who's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Gavin?
Ah, hello, Gordon, Cammy, Daz.
What you got for us tonight?
Oh, I'm just going to say for the Daz there, the secret agent Goldfinger Club.
Oh, right, Gavin. Were you the one that called us from Prague?
Might have been.
Remember that when he was in the gentleman's club?
Yeah, how are you, Gav?
And the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Gavin, you get about. I bet you're going to Seville tomorrow.
Are you? Don't say Clydebank.
No, heading over to Seville tomorrow.
Of course he is.
So, really looking forward to it.
Was that a good night, Gavin?
Well, I've done some more research.
But the boss in here the next day, because obviously the work PCs would be monitored. Who was Googling Goldfinger's Prague last night? Why were you on Goldfinger's Prague Instagram account? I think we do need to move on with it being a family show. What are you thinking then, heading over to Seville?
Well, I think we'll probably play a very similar team that will probably line up in the cup final. Obviously, due to St. Fuente's, lack of, the ban getting overturned today. Mm-hmm. My gut feeling is we might go with Sterling maybe in the middle, and then see how the game goes, and possibly maybe Lammers and McCausland come on later on. But I think Sterling has done pretty well in the last three sub appearances, and I think that may be the way to go.
Yeah, we're always told that managers go one game at a time. It's the most annoying phrase in football, but I wonder if Gavin makes a good point. Do you play Cifuentes on Thursday because he's available, and Philippe Clement said if that gives you the best chance of winning the game, then just deal with Sunday on its own? Or are you fine-tuning some sort of plan for Sunday Thursday?
I'm going most important game first, which is Thursday night.
Okay.
Play your natural player that plays in that position. Because there's a lot at stake. So you can't start looking at a game that's so important and say, right, I'm going to put a team out planning for the cup final on Sunday. I think that if Rangers went over there and got a positive result, I think that would be a fantastic time for them, the fact that they qualify. So I would be playing my natural player in the natural position and then get
just
back.
Just Sunday.
Yeah, because you don't know what injuries are, what you're going to pick up on Thursday night as well, Gordon. So Sunday will take care of itself. Concentrate on Sunday, probably Friday morning, you're back home. So strongest side, natural position, and go and try and win the game for me.
Yep, strongest side for me. Again, it's such an important game for Rangers this on Thursday night that they need to try and go there and get the win. They want to top the group. It's really important. So for me, if you've got the players available, and I also think they're two different games, there's two different oppositions, and I think the manager will look at that as well. I don't think he'll be preparing on Thursday night for Sunday.
Gavin, talk to me about how much more you want to be in the Europa League than the Conference League, if that makes sense. I mean, it's obviously the more prestigious competition. Is that something you feel really strongly about, or is it is it just about, you know, kind of Europe after Christmas?
I mean, you know, I think any Rangers fan would be a fool to actually say they wouldn't want to be in the Europa League.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, just in terms of like how much of a priority it is, or how much of a failure would you see it as? You know, would it be a sort of, oh well, that's not ideal, but we move on, or is it something that would get you angry? But you know, do you know what I mean by that? Like, how much of a failure would you see it?
I don't think it would be a failure, and I'm not one to like pull punches on people from the other side of the city, but you know, I think that the word failure could be pushed slightly more towards the East End. I mean, you know, coefficient wise, we have been absolutely amazing. Let's be brutally honest. But as I say, I'm not honestly. I don't do the whole tit for tat stuff. Look, I think it would be amazing if we could go to Betis tomorrow, or pardon me, Thursday, and get a result. Worst case scenario, look, we're still in the Conference League. Rangers are, you know, I don't think any Scottish team, brutally honestly, are a Champions League side. You know, we were showing up. I was there at all the away games 2 years ago, Anfield and stuff, Ajax. It was just embarrassing. Celtic, you know, annoyingly, to be fair, have not shown up this year either. Like, we're a small wee country. My goodness, as a national team, I think we're doing incredibly well. But we cannot compete with these big boys. We are Europa League and, dare I say, Conference level.
Well, this is the thing about this week, Cammy, going into this one, because that all coming down to one night really defines the campaign for Rangers. They can still top the group, and how can you grumble with that, topping a Europa League group? But bearing in mind, up until this point, a home draw against Limassol and an away defeat to Limassol is sort of close. Like we said, 190 minutes is going to decide whether this has been a good or a bad campaign in some
ways. Again, when you break the campaign down, obviously there's been a change of manager.
Sure, of course,
in there. And the away defeat to
that's the thing. Clement was in, and we're talking about the three games since, and everything's feeling better, and domestically, and Celtic have fallen off a bit.
Yeah,
but you know, the previous game was under Philippe Clement. It was at Ibrox, and it was really disappointing.
It was poor. It was really poor. And again, didn't handle it defensively with the pace of the Limassol strikers. But again, didn't do enough in the game to actually win it either. So yes, they need to perform better, but they know what job they need to do on Thursday night. That's the big thing for me. If they go and win the game on Thursday night, they can top the group, which would be a good achievement. And listen, the Europa League's where Rangers, for me, I think, can be successful. They can go far in this tournament. They've done it recently. It's a difficult tournament, but I think the players, again, they've had some of the players that are still there have got that experience of going that distance and getting to the final recently as well. So I think it's such an important, financially for the club as well, but so important for the club going forward, the fans, everyone to be involved in the Europa League rather than the Conference. And the Conference is still a tournament you would take seriously and want to go far in it, but absolutely Europa League is what you want.
Thank you very much, Gavin. Enjoy your trip. If you go to any other dodgy night spots, make sure to let Gordon DL know. 01419511025. Right, any more on the teaser? Looking for the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final. Scott McTominay, Andy Robertson, Stephen Fletcher.
Did Gilmore play?
Nope.
I've got a few written down, don't have a clue. McAllister?
No.
Charlie Adams?
Yes, Charlie Adams. David Marshall and Craig Conway were unused subs, but he played for that was for Cardiff. He played for Liverpool.
Okay.
MD play with Newcastle?
Yes, actually. Now that you mentioned
Ryan Fraser?
No.
Oh, the other one then. Dummett.
He's not Scottish.
Is he not?
Scottish, no.
Okay, so it's not him. Who's the other one? The other winger. What'd you call him? Scott.
If you listen carefully, you can hear people in Glasgow in the West shouting at their radio.
I know. The winger played with Scotland, plays with Newcastle. No, Ryan Fraser. Cammy, come on.
My head's
Well, you're not
blank.
Getting it either.
I blanked.
Yeah. I can see him, but right. I can't
He's
shout.
He's one, right, okay.
Lionel's nephew.
Lionel Messi.
No, not Messi.
Lionel Richie. Richie, Richie, Richie.
Matty Richie.
Matty Richie.
Man.
Stuart McCall, no?
No, 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 no. We will get the rest of the answers very soon. Let me tell you about this as well.
Cash for Kids. Mission Christmas. With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
There is no one, and I mean no one, on this earth that likes a good deal as much as Gordon DL. You have the chance to feel very smug about yourself, make a difference to the local community, and make him extremely jealous. We've got an unbelievable prize for you. It's a brand new BMW 1 Series, thanks to Arnold Clark. It is a stunning car. It's got M Sport bodywork, digital cockpit, Apple CarPlay, heated seats, a real nice experience to drive around in. And you could win it as well as making a difference to children in Glasgow and the West at the exact same time. So you text CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901. The text just costs a standard network rate message and then a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. We guarantee every single penny of that goes straight back to families and children that need your help. You're helping battle holiday hunger and that sort of thing at this time of year. So it is the ultimate win-win, as I keep describing it. The entries close at 6pm Saturday the 16th of December. It's over 18s only. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. We will be back with the answers and more of your calls, but during the break, why not text CAR to 84901.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight tonight with Gordon DL and Cammy Bell. We are asking them, thanks to Richard and Falkirk, to name the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final. Scott McTominay most recently. Interestingly enough, did you see that? So Man United play Bayern Munich tonight the Champions League. They lost 3-0 at home to Bournemouth at the weekend. Mm-hmm. No changes to the starting 11. It's a very bold strategy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, have confidence in the players too.
Bayern got a heavy defeat as well, didn't they?
5-1 off Eintracht Frankfurt, who play Aberdeen on Thursday. Interesting week ahead. So, sorry, the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final. Scott McTominay, Matt Ritchie, Andy Robertson, Stephen Fletcher, Charlie Adam. You're not done with that Charlie Adam game. He played for Liverpool. They played against
Cardiff.
Right, okay. So right. What are we thinking?
We're thinking Kevin McNaughton.
Well done. Uh-huh.
There another Liverpool one there?
No.
Cardiff?
Yes.
No, I've got to say Stephen Thompson, but that's miles away.
It's actually not that far off, but no, he's it's not right, but
Cardiff. Patterson wasn't at Cardiff then. We didn't leave Hearts.
Nope.
Cardiff.
Struggling. Cardiff.
Who missed the first penalty in the shootout for Cardiff? Friend of the show as well. He'll be cursing us for bringing it up.
Friend of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell him it was Bartley.
No. What? No. Who's a more obvious... penalty taker for Cardiff in a League Cup final.
Has he been on this show?
Oh yes, many times. It's not. No, I know what you're thinking. It's not Hugh Keevans either. It's not him.
He's played with Cardiff. Hugh Keevans just missed a penalty.
Laced up the high tech.
I was going to say, I don't know if he played with Cardiff. Kenny Miller.
Yes.
Is it Miller, man? All right. Okay.
Oh, never got that. You remember him?
No. Yep.
I'm sure
he spoke about this a few weeks ago when I was on them. He did, didn't he?
Because we spoke about you saving the three penalties. We asked him the kind of biggest regret that he'd had missing one.
So that was it. I always just think of Wolves and Derby down there.
Right, there is actually another Cardiff, and then we need to branch out.
Give us a wee clue in this one.
Another Cardiff. Scotland internationalist.
Ooh, do you know what? Unsure.
Goalkeeper in there.
If he is, he's got very, very few caps. I'm going to say yes, but not many caps. That would be my guess. No, do you know what? I'm 100% yes with no caps. Sorry, 10 caps he's got. I didn't think it'd be as many. I knew it'd be a small
10
amount.
10 caps? Mm. Okay.
Any goalies?
Yes, actually. There is a goalie as well.
Always a goalie, can I?
Is there a goalie?
Yeah. We'll get back to you. Let's bring in Craig, who's in Dunfermline. How's it going, Craig?
Hello.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
Hi, good. Good yourself?
Good, all good here. What are you thinking?
Good. It was obviously what I talked about, Sacramento's. Obviously, red card not being overturned. Obviously, Clermont will play his stronger side on Thursday night, but it's more for the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was wanting to see what the panel thought of maybe putting Tavern in the middle the way Jurgen Klopp did with Trent Alexander.
Tell you what, it's not one we've heard before. Move him up the wing, play him up.
I've heard that
Craig,
one.
Craig's got him in the centre. So what, Dujon Sterling at right back and Tavernier in the middle of the park, like Trent Alexander Arnold. He's got it all figured out.
I think McLeish done it with Rixon as well.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, he did. The right back in the middle, play Ferguson and
then Arteta. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't think it's the worst shout I've ever heard.
No. But you're going to disagree with it.
No, if I turned up the weekend and I seen that lineup, then yeah, I would go. I can totally understand that. But I think Tavernier just gives too much from the right back position for me. I don't know if he'll do that. Do you think?
No, I don't disagree with the
logic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tav's got all the tools in his box to play in that position. He's good on the ball. He can travel with the ball. He can see that forward pass. He can tackle. So he's got everything to play in that position. I just think in that game, I don't know if they'll move him from right back. That's my issue. Mm. But absolutely, it's definitely food for thought, should we say.
Do you think Dujon Sterling is maybe the option to go into the middle of the park, Craig? You've obviously got them the other way around.
Aye. With the past, Tav's done, I think it was Seema last week at Pinecastle, so they can see a forward pass, you know what I mean?
Sometimes fullbacks.
Yeah, do you know the reason why I'll probably go against it a little bit? I'm shooting it down in flames because I think there's good evidence to say that could be tried. I think looking at the situation last weekend with Rangers, if he had that in his mind, I think he'd have brought on Stern, played him right back, and put Tav in home against Dundee when they were leading 3-1. So,
do you think it's maybe just too big a game to trial that?
Yeah, I just feel that you're taking away the strength from Tavernier on the right hand side. I don't think he'll do that. As I said, I think if it was in the back of his mind, the best opportunity would have been at the weekend there when he could have brought in Sterling, played him right back.
I know the way this is going to work, undoubtedly. People, I can't believe they're comparing James Tavernier to Trent Alexander-Arnold. That's not really, I don't think, what Craig's doing, but everything's obviously relative. I think the thought process there is, you've actually got a fullback that if there's a criticism, it's about going back the way. Maybe they've both got that in common. Mm-hmm. James Tavernier does get praised for a lot of his passing. Sometimes he drives into that area and plays a pass like he did.
They both
at score
goals.
But whether that can happen from, you know, that being your starting position or not, and whether you're able to break play up the same and do all those other things that is expected of you, that would obviously be the challenge.
I firmly believe he could do all that stuff. I don't doubt it, but I just feel as if it's such a big game on Sunday that is that the first game you're going to trial it?
But you're not trialing it just for a laugh, are you?
No, because there's not many options. You're forced into it, but again, what you're doing is you're taking away from the back four that we know of, and again, you're bringing in another player that maybe doesn't have that relationship with the two centre halves, and that's what I mean by trialing it, that you're almost changing your back four where you don't need to, that could hurt yourself if it doesn't work out right. But I firmly believe Tav's got the ability to play in that position.
Craig, it's still an interesting thought. I like it. Thank you very much. That was Craig in Dunfermline, which will probably round things off for us tonight. I don't think there are any massive talking points that we've missed. I did say in the intro, now we know Scotland's plans for pre-Euros, that sort of thing, but not many other breaking news stories today that I think we've missed, so we can sleep easy tonight. We will be back tomorrow, of course, seeing what Wednesday throws up. Let's try and finish off this teaser. Thanks again to Richard and Falkirk for sending it. Thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride. Make sure you check out their trade counter on Colville Road. They've helped us out with the teaser tonight as well. We're looking for the last 10 Scots to play in the English League Cup final. Scott McTominay, Matt Ritchie, Andy Robertson, Stephen Fletcher, Kev McNaughton. I nearly said the next one. Kenny Miller and Charlie Adam.
Many have we got left too?
Three.
Three. Oh, we're struggling.
Did Barry Bannon?
No.
No. Okay. No,
not the worst shout I've heard.
Okay.
It was a great shout.
You see, there's a goalkeeper in there.
There is a goalie who came off the bench. Doesn't happen very often. If I told you the game was Bradford against Swansea.
The Swansea keeper.
I think he was playing for Bradford.
I know.
No, I don't know.
He double bluffed me there, didn't he?
He's still at
Swansea.
Rangers.
Still at Rangers?
Yes.
John McLaughlin?
Yes. John McLaughlin.
Oh, okay. Yep. Didn't know that.
What about your man I told you about? 10 Scotland caps, more than I thought. I'm very sorry.
Cardiff.
And Cardiff.
What other teams do you play for?
You want to be thinking Hearts. You want to be thinking...
That's Patterson.
Ross County. That's the sort of... These are the links there.
Ian Black.
You want to be thinking... Farm animals. It's Davy Sheep, isn't it? It's Davy Sheep.
No. Cattle. Cattle, Cowie, Don Cowie.
Yes. What a clue. And forget anything else this guy did. My favourite clue would have to be that he once knocked out Wayne Rooney in his kitchen.
Oh, Phil Bardsley.
There we go. We got there in the end. Thank you, Cammy Bell and Gordon DL. We are back tomorrow. Big, big night for Celtic. The return as well. Forget the Champions League returning. The return of Marvin Bartley to the show. Queen of the South must have won at the weekend. He's alongside Mark Wilson tomorrow. Big night for Celtic. Then, of course, building up to Thursday for Rangers and Aberdeen as well. It's going to be a huge week. Make sure you join us. And Lynn Hogan is in for Callum next